Dr. Reed is using this position as a stepping stone to become governor.
It doesn't surprise me, knowing him. That would stand to reason.
Yep.
But, I mean, okay, so he's the treasurer. He's got name ID. For you to unseat him, you have to convince enough Oregonians to vote for you. So what are you going to do different than him? I mean, treasurer is not like being governor. I mean, it's not one of these sexy positions, right? I mean, it's the treasurer. You're managing money.
You're right. And the treasurer ought not to be about Republican versus Democrat. Although I'm a Republican. The position's about competence. And you don't want somebody in that office who was learning about the job after he became treasurer. And I was listening to a conversation once with Mr. Reed, and he was talking about serving as treasurer was like being in a graduate school course for finance and investing. And I thought to myself, wait a minute, you're supposed to know this before you get elected, not after. So that's simply, true. You know, that speaks to the qualifications.
Yeah, yeah. So what are your qualifications?
I'm a second-generation Oregonian, grew up in Portland, got a BA in economics out of Pomona College in Southern California, MBA from the Wharton School back at the University of Pennsylvania, worked as an analyst, controller, treasurer, almost every organization that I've been a part of as a volunteer basis. I've either been the treasurer or the chair, 8 years of service on the Lake Oswego City Council, where my colleagues grew very much used to me saying, when something would come up with somebody would come with an idea, be it a member of the council or a resident, and they'd say, we need to do this. Generally, always a very good idea. But I would always ask my colleagues, if we do this, what aren't we going to do? That's the approach that I'm going to bring.
Okay, so how is that different from what Tobias is doing today, the current Oregon treasurer?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how is that different than what he's doing today?
It's different because he's not out there asking the questions. If we do this, what don't we do? To him, everything is important. And if everything's important, then nothing is important.
Nothing is important. Well,
exactly.
Well said. All right. So, you know, again, what to every one of our listeners, what's the main benefit to them of voting for you?
There's the technical skills I bring. There's my service on the state land board, which has been talked about earlier.
That's a big deal.
It's a very big deal. And you need to have that voice. There's the fact that I'm not going to be beholden to anybody except the people of the state of Oregon. My contributions are coming in small dollar amounts from all around the state. So I won't be I'm not going to be looking at being beholden to anybody. Indeed, a longtime friend of mine, he's in the money management business, investment business. We've known each other since high school. And ever since I've gotten involved in politics, we always agree. We just split the cost of lunch when we get together. That's the way I want to play it. You have to play it.
So last night, and this is going to be my last question, and we got to let you go. Last night at Executive Club in Portland, you made a pledge that to not take out-of-state donations, but if you get them, what are you going to do with the money?
If those out-of-state donations come in from the class action law firms in Washington, D.C. or New York City who are looking at getting business dollars out of the state of Oregon through the treasurer's office, I'm not going to refuse it, but I'm going to take it in and give the money to Timber Unity.
Wonderful.
Wow.
They can use it. Is that not cool?
That is so cool.
Jeff Goodman, you're running for state treasurer. What's your website?
It's jeffgoodman.org. That's jeffgoodman.org. jeffgoodman.org.
Okay, Jeff Goodman, thank you for spending some time with us. I really appreciate
it. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Good luck to you.
In a moment, we're going to talk to a couple of great ladies that are running for county commission, and county commissions are incredibly important. But I want to get my friend Tracy Hensley here to spend just a couple of minutes chatting with us. Tracy is a volunteer at the Oregon Citizen Lobby War Room. This is a war room. This is a group that I'm part of. Tracy's part of. We're a group of ad hoc just activists who believe in limited government, who believe in personal responsibility and free markets. And at the War Room, we are here every Thursday, usually in a different room, but we're here every Thursday training people how to be effective when they come to the Capitol building. Tracy, how's it going?
That's right. We got quite a crowd here today. Last session we had
like 15 to 50 people every week. So we always have a good turnout, and people are eager to learn. We've got a lot of new faces this time.
Right.
So that is wonderful. People are getting excited and want to be active, and grassroots are on fire.
So what's the benefit of people taking some time off out of their job or their life to come down to our little war room where we're tracking legislation that's taking place in real time?
Right.
What do we teach people to do with real time legislation?
Well, we have the schedule before us, so we know when the hearings are happening, and we deploy people. We are a war room. We deploy people to go and testify, and if they don't know how to, we give them a little crash course on how to do that and how to do it effectively.
And we also teach people how to go talk to their legislator if their legislature doesn't necessarily want to talk to them, right?
That's right. They don't always want to talk to us.
And they don't, and that's a sad thing, but it's true. It happens here in the building. So the benefit is people come here, they get training about how to really stand up for what they're passionate about, what they believe in terms of conservative, limited government values, those types of things.
That's right.
And then we literally put people in play. We ask them to go talk to a senator or a representative or go testify at a hearing, and we teach them how to do that so they have a little bit of confidence. And we even have coffee for them in
we
the morning.
We have coffee
huh?
for them. That's right.
And what time of day?
Cookies and donuts.
Well,
too.
Yeah. What time of day do we get started?
We get started about 8 o'clock, and we go all day. And usually we disperse about 3 when the last hearings are
yeah.
starting.
Okay. Very good. Yeah. Tracy Hensley, thanks for the great volunteer work you do. You don't get paid for this, and it's a lot of work to come down here. And thank you very much. We appreciate the dedication. Come and join
Absolutely.
Us. You can check out our website, OregonCitizensLobby.org, Oregon Citizens, that's plural, OregonCitizensLobby.org, and you can find our schedule and the rooms that we are in here at the Capitol Building. Every Thursday when they're in session, we are here at the Capitol Building, and Tracy will be here and along with other people, and they'll be working hard to help you stand up for what you believe in. Thank you, Tracy. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Danielle Bethel, welcome.
Hi.
So you are one of these people that have thrown your hat in the ring to run for county commissioner here in Marion County.
That's right.
So here's the question I always ask people, because I had it asked of me a lot when I first ran for the legislature in 1999. Why are you running?
Why not?
No, that's a cop-out of an answer.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, I'm running because I think that I have a voice that people
right.
resonate with. I'm a present person that lives in this county, and I really want to make sure that we can maintain the consistency and the lifestyle that we have today. Sam Brentano, after he and I had several conversations and him providing us 16 great years of service, decided to retire, and I met his qualifications to be able to step into his seat and serve his endorsement.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you run for office,
yeah.
People are judging you based on really what are you going to do for them? Okay. And I don't mean necessarily finding pork and bringing the pork home, right?
Mm-hmm.
What I'm talking about is what are the 3 things you want to do for the people of Marion County that you think are positive benefits for them?
Well, education, number one. I think that a lot of folks in the county struggle with showing up and knowing where to go, and specifically knowing all the issues that the county is dealing with. I have the ability to be at the table, regardless of what room it's in, and hearing and seeing the things that are going on and be able to translate that out to my community so they're informed. If we're talking about specific issues that are important to this county and to me, I mean, I want to have the conversation about a third bridge. I think we need to go back and really facilitate a healthy conversation with the parties that prevented us from getting that done and get it done. I also think that we need to have a conversation about proper solid waste management and how we can really maybe reduce our overhead. Marion County produces a fair amount of tonnage every year, and we have an excellent environmental program in Marion County that folks don't know a lot about. I think it's a generational thing too. I mean, I'm not that old, and I have a lot of folks that want to hear what I have to say in their demographic, whether it be female and or age specific. Last year I ran an election or a campaign and won successfully for the Salem-Keizer Public School Board. And so I know well about what you're talking about, where people want to hear, you know, what are your 3 things or your 5 things. And I think on a regular basis that can change based on the audience that I'm in and what people are asking of me.
But so So when you're out and about and you're talking to people right now, what is it that you're hearing? What is the single most thing that you hear from people that they're concerned about in Marion County?
You know, people aren't coming up to me saying, oh my gosh, I need you to run. When people find out or approach me and say, why are you doing this? Most often they are saying, thank you for stepping forward. I really believe that I have a different approach than the average politician, because I'm not a politician. I'm a small business owner. I'm a mom. I just want to make sure that the consistency of what people are paying in taxes is being utilized efficiently. I want my community to be safe. I want to make sure, you know, I want all the same things that anybody that lives and works here wants.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. So what business do you have?
So my husband and I own Bethel Plumbing.
Okay.
And for over 10 years, I've owned an events and promotions company.
Oh, wow.
And for the last 4 years, I've been the executive director of the Kaiser Chamber of Commerce. So small business is pretty close to my heart.
Absolutely. So all these things that happen in the building here.
Yeah.
The hidden sales tax that we're all now paying, that's increasing our cost of everything.
Right.
But everything they're talking about doing, I mean, they're talking 4 new tax bills.
Right.
There are actually 6 new tax bills, I think, is the total so far. One of the worst of them being the reason we have this rally, and that's cap and trade.
Right.
So from a chamber perspective, you know, this is Salem, this is Marion County, this is a big town, big city, right?
Right?
All these ideas that we care about and worry about as rural people, it really is the same here too, isn't it?
It is. Well, you know, I made an argument the other day to some folks about the fact that, so I live and work in Kaiser, and we don't have the same things that downtown Salem has in Kaiser. Transportation isn't running every single 5 minutes, and people can't just get up today and walk to their job and, you know, and reduce their carbon footprint like some folks in this building would like to see us do in a reasonable, functional way. I would argue that Kaiser is rural. If you want to sit down and look at some of the aspects of what is considered rural. I mean, it's a town of almost 40,000 residents that has its own challenges because we don't have the infrastructure that a downtown like Salem and or Portland or whatnot has.
Yeah. So what's your website here?
It's DanielleBethel.com.
Okay. How do you spell Bethel?
It's Bethel. And it's,
Bethel.
Yeah,
okay.
Like Bethel Logging.
Bethel Logging. Okay.
Yeah, it's B-E-T-H-E-L-L.
B-E-T-H-E-L-L. It's Danielle, D-A-N-I-E, 2 L's,
E.
Danielle E, right? Bethel, and that's .com.
Correct.
Okay, and that's how people can get in touch with you if
Absolutely.
They want to help you.
Yeah.
Yard signs, lawn signs, if they want you to come and speak to their group, right?
I'd love to.
Yeah, bet you would.
I really like to talk to people, turns out. I'm pretty approachable.
And well, you're a chamber person. You better be.
I am, yeah. I love Marion County. I'm excited to be able to get to know the areas of it that I haven't yet participated in just in my career.
Right.
And I spent a couple of hours 2 weeks ago in Woodburn with the Slavic vote, just really immersing that conversation and community. And boy,
oh man,
talk about excited.
It is exciting to us who have, you know, been in Oregon politics a long time and always frustrated that there are groups of people out here that do not vote. Haven't voted for a long time. They really share our principles and values of conservatism, limited government, those kinds of things. And they're coming alive now.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got to tell you, there's a lot of them here today. Some of them are running for the legislature. We're going to have a lady, Anna, come over and join us after a bit. You know, she's from the Old Believer Russian community. Getting involved in politics for the first time, and it's powerful. That's what we need.
Yeah.
And good job for you for serving on the school board.
Thank you.
For doing the great work you do. Her name is Danielle Bethel. Check out her website, DanielleBethel.com. Bethel, right? Bethel.
Danielle Bethel.
All right, I'll learn to say it better.
Get in line.
All right. Thank you, Danielle. Appreciate it. Good luck out there. So another young lady who is running for a county commission, her and I serve together, and I'm getting that warning, Curtis, that my battery's getting low here, so we're going to have to fix that problem shortly because we don't want to go off air. And so we'll do that in just a moment here. You know, we got the word that we were going to be live for the entire day a couple hours into this thing, and that was unexpected. So we're scrambling to make sure we got battery power and power out here so we can plug things in and make things work. So I was blessed to come into the Oregon legislature. Okay. Sorry about that interruption. I was blessed to come into the Oregon legislature in 1999. And shortly thereafter, a young lady joined me from the rural area of Malala, and her name is State Representative and former Clackamas County Commissioner Tootie Smith. Tootie, welcome.
Thank you, Jeff. You're so kind to have me on today.
Oh, I appreciate you being here. Isn't this awesome?
This is awesome. My heart is just bubbling over with all the support and just the grassroots down-to-earth people here.
It is incredible to see all of this. I mean, it really is. It's this is exciting. I'm really encouraged by this because, you know, you served in this building a number of years also.
Yes.
I never saw anything like this, did you?
No. And I was telling some folks, I was involved in the Spotted Owl Wars of the late 1980s and 90s, but the problem is we had to travel back to Washington, D.C. to get anybody to listen to us. As a matter of fact, they did not listen to us because they made us feel ignorant and stupid that they knew better.
Well, there's some other people in this building that have that attitude, don't they?
Yes. And we can take the battle right here local, and that's why I think this is going to be so successful. People are getting tired of being taxed and capped and traded, and now they want to toll us. People have risen up and said, enough. And then I understand after, well, all the taxes that were raised in the 2016 legislature, and then there's a whole bunch more introduced in this short session. When is it going to stop?
Well, it isn't, because government run by these people with this philosophy, the government is always the answer rather than us as individuals, okay? They have a philosophy that ends up never having a big enough government. Never. So that means you have to constantly pay for a big enough government. So that means you're constantly raising people's taxes and their fees to the point that we'll soon be like California, where they're losing the middle class for the first time in 50 years this year. Or last year, California has lost population. More people moving out. You know who the people are moving out? They're middle-class people, okay? Because they can't afford the cost of living, can't afford the cost of housing. And we're rapidly getting there in Oregon. And this cap-and-trade business is just one of those things. Now, the county level, your county commissions have a lot to do with how the state gets run.
That's right, we do.
In so many ways. Now, you served on the Clackamas County Commission. You've been gone for a little bit. You're coming back, and you're running for the chairwomanship.
That's right, Clackamas County Commission.
Against the current guy who's been involved in a little bit of a scandal, hasn't he?
Yes, he's been found guilty in the Ethics Government Commission, guilty on two charges of doing favors for his wife, whom he hired at the county, and then has proceeded to give her raises, not recuse himself, and a whole bunch of other things. But to me, what's more concerning about that, he pushed through a vehicle registration fee that the public voted down by 64%.
Right.
He has supported metro taxes on their park bond. He will support metro transportation taxes. And oh, by the way, Metro now has the ability to raise their own vehicle registration fee from a bill that was passed last session that they snuck in at the last minute.
And good grief.
Yeah, and it's, you know, Jim Bernard has not met a tax or a fee that he isn't like. And as long as he's chair, he sets the agenda. The chair sets the agenda in Clackamas County, and he runs the meetings. And he, right now, they have a supermajority of Democrats.
Right, right. Yeah.
Just like a supermajority in Salem. And that's what I'm running against.
So you add all the taxes you just described for Clackamas County to all the things that this building has done, right? The hidden sales tax, and now this proposed cap and trade thing, with and a whole bunch of other new taxes that they want to put in place for affordable housing, all that stuff. And how do you go to some place where it's cheaper to live, like say Idaho?
Well, I get a lot of people telling me that they're packing their bags. And I cry over that. You know, I'm a fourth-generation Oregonian, and I'm a fourth-generation Clackamas County farmer. And I say, I'm going to stay here and fight. If it's the last thing I do,
we're tied to the land.
You and I.
We can't. I mean, I'm a fifth-generation Oregon farmer. I can't. I'm not going to sell my family's history and go move to Idaho.
That's right.
Okay, I got to stay and fight.
That's right. I have six generations living on the farm now. I'm the fourth, and I have and there's six little guys that are coming up. You know, they're five and 2 years old, 2 months old, and it's fantastic. Frankly, I don't know if my farm's going to be around long enough for them to be able to take it over, which is scary. Another thing that I'm hearing from Clackamas County voters is the high cost of their property taxes have exceeded the 3% limitation that the voters voted in many years ago. And there's a lot of reasons
for that. That's happening in other places too.
It is. It's happening because people, well, they vote for their new school bond or they vote for the fire hall down the road.
Right.
And they think, well, that's a real feel-good thing. But the problem, what they don't realize, is the pressure that's being put on them by our local government for more increased taxes, fees, or whatever. And it's just going crazy right now.
And it snowballs, and it gets, if you're living in a small town and the small town has to comply with all these new rules and regulations, they have to raise fees. You're living in a county, in that small town's in a county like
mm-hmm.
yours,
yeah.
they're going to raise their fees. And then we're all Oregonians, and the legislature passes stuff that raises their fees, and pretty soon you can't afford to live here anymore.
No. Have you ever heard of anybody running for office that wants to roll back a tax?
You know, I wanted to, and that's one of the reasons I won in 1999. But, you know, sad part is, even though we Republicans were in control in those years,
I remember,
we could not get enough of our fellow Republican colleagues to actually want to roll back taxes.
So the tax that my opponent passed with his board in secret, not a public vote, of the vehicle registration fee.
Right.
He didn't even put it on the agenda. They just did it. That's going to be one of my first actions when I'm elected as chair
Good.
Of Clackamas County
Good.
Commission. I'm going to take that vehicle registration fee, and it will be a public vote.
Good. And it should be.
And it's going to be
That's
a public
the right
vote.
Thing.
And if the other commissioners don't want to vote for it, they want to keep that tax in place, even though voters voted against it by 64%, that will be a public vote for
right.
them.
Well, Tootie, how can people learn about your candidacy? You got a website?
I do, tootiesmith.com. I'm on Facebook, Tootie Smith for Oregon, Facebook.
Okay.
I post every day. I have a daily blog, Jeff.
You do?
I do. You can go to my website, tootiesmith.com. I now have a weekly newsletter by email. If you sign up,
okay.
you can get on that. That's a very professional piece. And so if you're not on Facebook, you can get my blogs on my email.
Okay, very
yeah.
good.
Yeah, so I'm a prolific writer, and I write about the top topics, Clackamas County, and some state stuff, because it
sure.
affects people in our county.
Okay. Tootie Smith, thank you.
Thank you,
Good
Jeff.
Luck.
Bye-bye.
Believe me, I hope you're successful at replacing Jim Bernard. That is for sure. Okay, friends, so you know I'm going to break protocol here, because I typically only do an interview with somebody one time on a particular day. Okay, so we're going to talk again with Scott Sword, who's running for my old position. Scott, are you there? Is your mic live?
Are we on? Yep,
yeah,
we're there.
Yeah, you're there. Okay, so Scott Sword is running for my old seat in the House of Representatives. And so, because we probably have a different group of people listening right now, I ask you the same question I've asked everybody. Why are you running?
Well, Jeff, I'm running because as a logger and a business owner in this community, I've spent 40 years going back and forth to work with people just like this crowd out here. I never once heard them talk about politics. They talked about girls and hunting and all the trouble they got into. Now they're talking politics. So I was, as a former mayor, as a former city councilman, I have some of these skills that could be useful to this group. And I thought, I have the time, I have the skills. I'm going to see if we can put a logger in the house instead of the one just like it's on top.
So what are the top three things that you want to do for our listeners who could vote for you out in House District 17? What are the top three things you want to do for them that would benefit them?
First and foremost, let's see if we can reduce your tax burden. This constant barrage, drip, 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 the taxes that's coming out of this marble building is crushing industry in my area. The natural resource industries, even the small manufacturing bunch, are getting hit every day with a new plan to take their money away. We've got to stop that. We've got to pull that issue back. Second, we need to protect our Second Amendment rights. They're so important. There is a groups all across this state that are trying to take our freedoms away. I'm going to fight for you. I grew up on a rifle range. I shot competitively for Remington. I know this issue. We can have safe gun ownership without new rules.
Fair enough. Scott Sword, how can people learn more about you? You're on Facebook, I know
I'm
that.
I'm on Facebook, all over on Facebook. Look for me at Sword for Oregon on Facebook. And also my webpage is www.scottsword2020.com. That's www.scottsword2020.
And sword is just like the actual sword. It's S-W-O-R-D.
Yep. You know, there's always these talks that, you know, it cuts both ways with a sword. This sword only cuts one way.
I like to hear that. Thank you, Scott. Good for you. All right, folks. So there is still time, lots of time for you to come down here and meet people and network people. There is food here. It is it's a wonderful Adam's Rib Smokehouse, just awesome food. It's available. You don't have to drive all the way into the Capitol. I got to say something to somebody in a moment here, but you can come down to four locations and you do not have to drive all the way into the Capitol. We can bus you in here. We have shuttles running from the Polk County Fairgrounds, from the State Fairgrounds, at the Rodeo Building at the State Fairgrounds, Volcanoes Stadium out on I-5 there at the Kaiser Station, and the River Bend Rock Quarry. And we are doing shuttles running every 30 minutes, okay? Come down and take a stand for freedom. Some of our great advertisers, True Value. We had Tim Kirsch here. He's the general manager out at Kaiser. Cascade Food and Produce. Odd Mo's Pizza. And they're supposed to bring us some pizza, right, Curtis?
Yeah. That's good pizza.
Budget Rooter. Plumbing and Service. Advantage Heating and Air Conditioning. We had their owner here with us earlier in the day. Associated Oregon Loggers is a great group that has stood firm for loggers and the logging industry in this building from the time I served here, starting in 1999. They're still here. And Extreme Graphics, and of course, Timber Unity and KSLM. So, who do we have now?
Well, I've been out crowd surfing.
I know you have.
Lots of fun people out here. So, we have Paul Joseph Romero Jr.
Hi, Paul. Welcome.
Hey, and glad to be here.
You know, he's running for U.S. Senate.
Oh, you
and,
are.
And he has a lot to say about what's going on here today and a new direction for Oregon.
Well, very good. Paul, why don't you tell us why you're running for the U.S. Senate?
Well, the reason I'm running is a simple fact. We have a whole lot of things that need to be fixed. We have too many politicians and not enough people doing the actual job. You know, we need to see more candidates become pragmatist problem solvers. And here for the state of Oregon, you know, I see a state that literally we have more common ground now than we've ever had across the borders between Democrats, Republicans, Independents, everybody.
That's true.
And it is absolutely time for us all to come together and focus on fixing those problems. And one of the things the state cannot handle is the excessive taxes that are coming down the pike here that they're trying to push through and use these emergency clauses for no real emergency. We're seeing too many abuses here at the state level, and it needs to be fixed because it's hurting everyone. And I think that as we come together and work on these problems to fix them, we can find that common ground. And once we do that, then maybe we can work on the other problems we may not quite see eye to eye. But right now, that common ground is what we need to focus on, and that's for all Oregonians.
So what are the top three things? If people elected you to represent them as a U.S. Senator, what are the top three things that you want to do for them that's going to benefit the people of Oregon?
Well, the first thing is going to be with our president. Right now, we currently have two senators who literally have no access to the president due to their socialist leanings. And as such, one of the things we're talking about is bringing balance to Oregon. And we need a Republican senator, number one. Number two is going to be really to set it up with the president for timber industry. Our president, literally, with a stroke of a pen, could turn our timber industry around on its head. Just turn it all the way around.
Right.
And so what I'm going to propose simply is an executive order to get the Forest Service, U.S. Forest Service, BLM, to actually set up timber sales throughout Oregon. A couple of the basic rules that will have to abide by is that timber that comes out of a given county, the profit money from that timber sale will go to the actual county seat. And then beyond that, any timber that's cut in Oregon has to be fully milled in Oregon. I'm not talking about just the squares or anything like that. We're talking fully milled.
Shipping it overseas.
Or to the offshore barge mills that they have out there.
Right.
So this fundamentally is going to put a whole lot more people back to work. And you know, we have a lot of blue-collar workforce out here, and they know what to do when it comes to these things. We have 5.2 million acres of forest that went unreplanted after they burned. And I'm starting to think that whole process of letting our forest burn had more to do with trying to create conditions for the whole cap and trade.
It's a tragic thing. And, you know, when I years ago when I served in the House of Representatives here, I was chairman of the House Ag Committee. So when there were forest fires on state lands, we'd go out there, and oftentimes those state lands were next to federal lands. And our state lands, which are still not managed well, were better managed, however, than the federal forests. And you could see the incredible difference in the damage. At least on our state lands, some of the trees would be left to continue growing, you know, for the flora and the fauna and all of that. But in the federal forests, there was nothing left.
That's right.
And the actual soil is baked. The minerals in the soil are baked, and it will not grow anything for many, many years. That's a management issue that can be changed. So those are those. That's music to my ears, and certainly to the people here at Timber Unity. That's the first thing. So what are the other two things you're going to do for people?
Well, the first next thing is going to be getting some actual jobs back here in Oregon. I mean, to really to facilitate all these other changes is going to have more to do with turning our state legislature back into a balanced system. Right now, we're very out of balance with the supermajority. And once people realize that, I think they're going to start voting. They're going to look at the Republican candidates and realize that they're actually trying to do something to fix the problems instead of creating more burden on the Oregon taxpayer. So a big part of my campaign has been actually to help all the people that are running the different districts for the House and Senate at the legislative level for their messaging to make sure that they understand the needs of all the people, all their voters. So they're not just running for the Republican conservative vote. They're running for all of them. And they need to be able to speak to everybody and do it in a way that's not compromising. It's not a lie. It's not an exaggeration. It's the truth. And I think Oregonians, they need the truth. And they're looking for good, solid, genuine candidates. And so that's kind of another one of our focuses here.
What's your third reason?
Third benefit for Oregon. You know, having a representation in Congress, working as a senator, the judge approving various judges, that's going to be one of the big issues, I think.
Huge for the future of the Republic.
Absolutely. So, and we're focused on all these things, but, you know, as a senator, I may not be directly affecting the state as far as the legislature goes. However, I can affect the people that are helping to run to step up.
You can be very influential.
Absolutely.
And
what I'm finding is that there are more and more just average Oregonians that have been through life, they've been through the fiery hoops of life, and they are ready to step up and do something to help the state. And I just commend anyone who's willing to step into that arena.
You know, that's one thing I'd say for our current state or U.S. senators for Oregon. They don't say a whole lot about what's happening in our state. It's, you know, they're living in their apartments in New York City or in Washington, D.C., and they're keeping their mouth really closed and tight-lipped about the things that are affecting the Oregonians that they're supposed to be representing.
Fundamentally, they've not really done anything for Oregon. You know, I mean, my opponent in the general is going to be, he's been on the ranking member on the Rural Development Committee as well as the Agricultural Committee. What has he actually done for the state of Oregon? Not really anything.
So, no. And in fact, you could argue that what they're trying to do is only hurting the state of Oregon.
That's a fact.
They're definitely not promoting it.
Yeah, I see too many congressmen stepping up to help illegal immigrants over actual citizens. That makes no logical sense.
No, it doesn't, and it's not a good thing. It's the wrong direction. And this whole idea that we're going to give free health care to illegal aliens, when our own citizens don't have free health care, not that I advocate for free health care, because
sure.
I don't think that's the right thing to do, but the idea that we're going to put illegal aliens ahead of our citizens, it's crazy. And you
Even
know what? You look at the
veterans.
Polls on it. And you veterans, that's exactly right. By the way, when did you serve and how long did you serve?
I was in the Navy from December 1985 to January 1996. I was in the Mediterranean, Persian Gulf. I used to work for the Naval Security Group and National Security Agency.
Okay, very good.
Thank you. Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
And I'm ready to do it again if I got it.
Yeah.
So.
All right, so how can people learn more about your candidacy?
Well, the first place they can go to is my website. That's Romero, the number 4, Oregon.com. And the one thing I also want to tell people is that it's important for you to look at candidates. If a candidate can't relate to you in a very fundamental way, you probably shouldn't vote for them. If they are out of touch with the public, how can you trust them to act on your behalf?
True.
Right.
And I think too many people in Congress are literally out of touch with reality and what it costs for a family to live. And you know, and as a Republican, as a conservative, even. The simple truth is I'm very socially aware. You know, I was a single parent with 5 kids, 3 of my own, 2 foster daughters. And I know the struggles we had just to keep everybody fed, you know, and I'm thankful for the programs that existed to help us through that. So when people tell me, oh, you Republicans don't care about the people, that is just not true.
It's not true.
Just not
true. It's absolutely true. Wish you well. Do you have a website?
Yes, RomeroForOregon.com.
Okay.
And I'm on Twitter and Instagram.
Facebook,
Instagram. Absolutely. Okay. And we're really good about talking to people and answering questions. Also, we've been really filling in the dance card for all the locations, places we're going to go see. And we've had a lot of groups that are approaching us now. And like I said, it's getting kind of exciting right now. It really is.
Wonderful. Well, yeah. Wish you much success.
Thank you so much.
And
thank you.
Talking with
Thank
us
you,
today.
Thank you so much.
We're going to get my friend Sam Carpenter. Would you grab Sam there for me? Sam Carpenter, we're going to put him on the air and talk for a few minutes. He's coming to do something different. Sam, we're going to put you on the air. You're going to talk to a lot of people that are listening to us. We are broadcasting live from KSLM here in Salem. We're broadcasting live all day with no breaks. And we have some great sponsors to for that. Costs money to be on the air. We want to thank our folks at True Value on Advisor, Cascade Food and Produce, Osmo's Pizza, and we've got Rooter Plumbing Service, Advantage Heating and Air, Associated Oregon Loggers, Extreme Graphics, and of course Timber Unity, our own great radio station. I want to remind you that you can come to the rally. We're still going to be here. We have lots of speakers lined. There's politicians out here as far as the eye can see. It's like being in hell, right? And the convoy, the convoy, there are. Together, it's called Work the System, and you've updated it many times over the years, and I interviewed you on the air about this, I don't know, 10 years ago or longer, maybe. It's been a long time. You know, I've been friends for a long time. You subsequently ran for office to serve the public, and now you're running to be the national committee man for Oregon, for the Oregon Republican Party. So first of all, what is that, and why are you doing it? So what is it? What does a national committee man do?
Well, we're the representatives as a committee woman, too. And Marilyn
True.
Shannon, by the way, is running.
Now, oh, she
many
is.
People know that. Okay. She just filed. And we represent Oregon back to D.C., to the RNC.
To the Republican National Committee. So
correct.
You're part of that committee. Then.
Yeah,
yeah.
And ORP pushes that.
Yeah,
The state party pushes it. So we'll have our intra-party elections on March 21st, and that'll be in Portland. And so in my opinion, we need new leadership. We've had nothing but failure for 20 years, and I won't get into a big speech here, but in my opinion, we start at the top, and that would be replacing the committee man, Solomon Yu, and then on down the line, a committee woman, and we change to an ORP, an Oregon Republican Party, that will really work hard to get candidates. So Diana, my wife, and I, our big thing right now is filing deadline is March 10th. We want every single district, House, and Senate filled.
Right.
We're on our way. I've got an AG candidate for the top executive positions. We'll know that Wednesday, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then we had 25% of our House districts were empty last year. We're right at 30-some percent now. And Senate districts are 50%. We need Republicans in all these districts.
Yep,
so that's,
we do.
We want to do what we can to change the leadership of the Oregon Republican Party and find candidates for every one of those empty districts. We got to go into Portland. We got to go into everywhere. You know why? Because there's going to be obviously a Trump landslide. It's an opportunity of a lifetime. There will be coattails. And I talked with Donald Trump briefly a while back when I was running. And he said, Sam, climb on my coattails and we'll do this together. You do it here, we'll do it back in D.C. Of course, I lost in the primary then because I was a newbie. I know what I'm doing now. But the thing is, there's going to be coattails here. And I want to encourage anybody who's thinking about politics to run. Remember, Donald Trump had nothing to do with politics before he became president.
Right.
And neither did I. But anybody who is a believer and is a patriot and really wants to get rid of these super majorities in 2020, now's the time. In 2022, we'll have the Republican governor, and we're a red trifecta by then.
Right.
That's the goal.
Well, I think you're absolutely right about it. I think Donald Trump's going to have huge coattails. You know what this reminds me of, Sam? This reminds me of 2010. Okay, so, but in the reverse way, Barack Obama had the wrong kind of coattails, right? So his ideas, which were being rammed down Congress's, well, our throats, because they controlled all of Congress, the House and the Senate and the presidency, they caused such an outcry across the United States. But right here in Oregon, we had a massive red wave that particular election cycle because of what was going on in D.C. And it was against what was going on in D.C. And we picked up seats in the House, some House districts that had 13% Democrat voter registration over Republican. Okay. You know, our candidates didn't win by a lot, but they won because people didn't like what was going on. And it was a national issue that came down and it affected us at the local level.
Yeah.
Donald Trump, this is going to be the reverse of this. Donald Trump is going to have those kinds of positive coattails. And I think there's a real opportunity there. So let me ask you this. Having said that, what specific plan do you have to get all of these positions filled with people who are really going to try to win?
Diana and I are going back on the road. And we're going to travel all over Oregon. I'll be calling all the chairs. Anybody who's got a following, we will be going to meetings. Now that I'm running for office, I can get in Republican County meetings.
Right.
And anywhere else, private meetings, we will be taking the car. We put a lot of miles on it. We're just going to personally go out there. There's other people making an effort to get candidates as well. We're joining in with them. But I think we've got quite a footprint. I've got 100,000 subscribers on our Making Reality Great Again Facebook page, and then Make Oregon Great Again. We have a ton of email subscribers there. And I would encourage your listeners, again, Making Reality Great Again is the Facebook page, and Make Oregon Great Again is the website.
I like that, Making Reality Great Again. I mean that just kind of says it all, doesn't it?
Well, you know, there's a story there, because we went back to Facebook after the election, the 2018 gubernatorial, and we had another name on it. We changed it to Making Reality Great Again. And they will not change it back to Making Oregon Great Again or Make Oregon. Facebook has been difficult, but we have such a subscriber base that they can't mess with us too much. That's why Donald Trump still has a Facebook
page,
a Twitter feed. So the idea is just to get out there for the next 6 weeks. March 10th, filing deadline.
Okay.
March 20th is when the we'll see who's going to be running the ORP, the Oregon Republican
Party. Right.
Yeah.
So part of what you would be helping to do is be part of ORP leadership And one of the things that really is needed at any level is for the ORP to have a powerful ability to help raise money for candidates, but also to really get people excited, the boots on the ground, to get out there and work for candidates. And I mean, a small change of 3,000 votes last election, and the Democrats in this building would not have a supermajority. That's all it would have taken.
Really, the just 3,000 votes. Yeah, the primary races are very low.
Right.
Small, 50,000 total votes sometimes.
Right.
In some of these major races. Yeah.
So it is an opportunity, and I think your timing is right in terms of that Donald Trump is going to have these coattails, and it's going to be so important for us to take a hold of that. I got to let you go because we got to move on, my friend.
Thank you,
Sam Carpenter. So again, it's Making Reality Great Again on Facebook, right?
Yeah, we're going and Make Oregon Great Again.
And Make Oregon Great Again.
Okay. The homepage message. It's
all right. It's thank you.
Thank you.
I love that Rush Limbaugh shirt. Yeah, stand up for Betsy Ross. You know, I've seen a few of those. That's such a great. Paul, very nice to meet you. Yeah. Okay. Very good. Thank you. You guys keep up the great work over Deschutes County. Okay.
Hey, Jeff, I just wanted to note we had JM Technologies stop by, and they donated several hundred Trump 2020 T-shirts.
Wow.
Free if you come see us at the booth. They're a nice black T-shirt. Again, that was donated by J&M Technologies. And Trump 2020, they're comfortable, nice quality. And if you come see us over here at the KSLM booth.
They're free.
Trump folks. 2020 T-shirts. So come get your T-shirts while they last. Limited numbers, but we got a couple big boxes of them. So come pick one up.
KSLM is the booth. We're on the front steps of the Capitol building. And we are literally right here on the west side of the steps, okay? There's like three tents here. KSLM, it's easy to see who we are. Come get your free Trump Pence 2020 Keeping America Great, a beautiful black, red, white, and blue over black. It's a beautiful black T-shirt, and they are free. So we've only got so many of them, so you better come and get them as quickly as you possibly can.
Yeah, we got a big crowd here. We only have so many of them. Again, they're donated by JM Technologies and a great sponsor for the station and just another industry that is here to support Oregon and make sure that our future's secure. And the legislators in Salem here don't keep doing things that are going to hurt our future, you know?
And absolutely.
Tax us to death. Tax.
We don't need that. Tell everybody in the audience who you are and what your business is.
All right, I'm Mickey Garris, and I own a couple businesses out in the Dallas area. We have American Outdoors, which is a small sporting goods store, a gun shop, and then we have a safety supply company my dad started several years ago, and that's American Glove Company, and we handle any of your safety supplies that you could think of. We are huge reliers on the timber industry. Any industry, really, but the timber industry uses our products and are some of our favorite customers, our best customers. And it's important to us that that industry stays healthy. That's one of the reasons I'm down here, supporting Timber Unity. And then I have a little radio show on Saturdays, 3 o'clock, Patriot Uprising Radio
on
right
which
here.
Which radio station?
KSLM, 1220 a.m., 3 o'clock on Saturdays. And we talk about all the local issues. We talk about national issues. And we talk about things that are near and dear to conservatives' hearts. So we're a little bit edgy. Sometimes I'll say things that aren't always considered politically correct. But you know, people want to hear it.
You know, it's okay to be politically incorrect. We have a president who has, has shaken the world, thankfully,
well,
in
I
this country
tell you,
by
I,
being politically incorrect.
I got into this because I got into my local politics. I became a Dallas city councilor. I became council president. And before Donald Trump was even running, I was kind of like, I broke the mold. I was considered the Trump of Dallas because, you know, I brought some attention to the community, but it was needed. And, you know, we had to be trailblazers. And because of that, we started some positive things.
You know, it's not a bad thing to push the envelope. And, you know, Trump's philosophy for a long time, if you've read any of his books, is you do things that you don't expect.
That's right.
Okay. And that gets you attention, and then you're able then to because you have people's attention, because it's hard to get people's attention. Today.
It is.
And so he's,
you need that shock and awe factor.
You do. You absolutely do. And once you have people's attention, then that's your opportunity, you know, to either win them over or to lose them entirely, which
that's
you're
right.
probably going to do anyway with
right.
some people. You know, there are Trump haters out there, even in our own party, that will never be won over. But there's a ton of people in the middle.
There's a lot of people in the middle.
Those people, by the way, are the largest voting bloc in this state now.
That's awesome.
Unaffiliated voters have now, as I understand it, are right now surpassing the Democrat Party in total voter registration. Okay. Republican Party is unfortunately way back there.
Right.
But what's interesting is the Democrat Party somehow has determined that about a third of these unaffiliated voters, like 300,000 of them, are conservatives.
Right.
Now, I don't know how they have the data to prove that, but they do. It's one of the reasons that right. they refused to open their primary to unaffiliated voters, because they thought that, well, 300,000 of them, if enough of them vote, it could screw up our primary
right.
and getting our far left, you know, regressive totalitarian Marxist
right.
candidates to win their primary. So that's why they wouldn't open it. So what I want to know is, I mean, that's a huge block of people. They don't belong to either party for a reason.
Right.
But I'll tell you what, I'll bet you there's a whole bunch of those people here today at this Timber
right.
Unity rally because they still care about things.
They care about things, and their ideology does slant to the right. That's,
it does, yes.
That's a fact. So whether it's the Republicans, the Independents, or the Constitutionalist Party, you know, working together like we're doing today is going to change Oregon.
It will. It absolutely will. Because you know what? Every one of these people, and this is what we try to teach people in our Oregon Citizen Lobby War Room here, which is every Thursday at the Capitol when the legislature's in session. We have a room where we teach people how to be effective at coming to this building and standing up for what you believe, okay? And we, in doing that, we want to inspire them to go talk to somebody else in their world. I mean, it's the theme
right.
of my radio show, you know, every morning, Monday through Friday here from 6 to 7 a.m., is persuading the persuadable.
Right.
There are people, Mickey, in your world, in my world, that can go either way on these issues. They can vote either way. They can have opinions in either way. They're not ideologically, you know, necessarily wedded to one thing or the other.
Correct.
Those are the persuadable people that we take these individual issues and we talk, we share with them our point of view or ask questions that are commonsensical, that get them to thinking about the basic human understandings of these issues. Like, why would you want to put in place a cap and trade policy that destroys a way of life for rural economies for no benefit?
Well, and it destroys a way of life for both Republicans and
yeah.
Democrats. A lot of this industry that we're hurting, there's Democratic employees.
That's right.
And business owners that are going to be directly affected by
That's
this,
right.
out of jobs possibly because of this.
Democrat business owners.
So this cap and trade is not a partisan issue. Getting voting in is partisan, but the
yes.
effect, the negative effect is not partisan. It's going
Absolutely.
To hurt all of Oregon
Everybody.
Equally. And the other thing is, sometimes we're disenfranchised because we think of the industries that are going to be affected, because we say the word industry maybe, we think it's just some big, giant corporation. And it's not personal enough. We need to remember that these are our neighbors. These are our friends.
Right, right.
These aren't the giant guys. I got loggers, Anderson Clan Trucking, amazing outfit out there, a small two-man operation, and he's going to be impacted by it. He has a family.
Absolutely.
He has kids that are going to be impacted
yep.
by
yep.
it. And these are people that are willing to give to our community and support all these other causes that our community needs that our tax money doesn't pay for.
Right.
They're
right.
the ones that are going to be effective. And when they go away, when you hurt small business like that, that give back to the community, what happens after that?
Well, you know, you destroy communities with these kinds of ideas. We were talking with Clackamas County Commission candidate, my former colleague, Tootie Smith, and she was talking about all the taxes and fees that they put in place in Clackamas County and what they want to do there. And if you add that to the city taxes, if you're in a city
yep.
and one of the, and then you add it to the new taxes and fees that have been passed here in the legislature, you can't live in this state anymore. You
right.
can't live here because your cost of living and your cost of doing business. So if people can't come to your store and buy guns, right, sooner or later you quit selling guns.
And that's another thing on that is you have to support local business.
You do.
That's the big thing. You know, you can get anything you want on Amazon right now.
Right.
Amazon is not putting tax money into my local community.
That's right.
And so when you have a brick-and-mortar store in a local community, they're the ones supporting the schools, supporting the sports programs. And so you got to remember that if those local guys dry up, the impact on the community is huge in a negative way.
You know, I want to be able to go down to my hardware store, like True Value here in Kaiser, that's one of our sponsors of this broadcast, when I need something. I want them to have it because I need it now. If I got a plumbing problem, I can't wait for tomorrow for Amazon to deliver me something to fix my plumbing problem because I got water running.
Yep.
Okay, and so, you know, those are things, that's why we want our local businesses around because they are.
They're the backbone
of
Oregon, and they're the ones that make our, especially the smaller communities, they're the ones that make those smaller communities thrive and are giving back to the community.
If we destroy them, because we refuse to put in place policies or we put in place policies that cause them to no longer be profitable, they won't be around.
They won't be around. And so going back to that policy making and stuff, another thing that gets overlooked too often is we're so focused on the national scale. Man, our local elections is really where it's at. The local elections are going to make the policy decisions that directly affect you the quickest. And so like you were talking to Tootie and some of these other people, your city councilors, your county commissioners. And my philosophy is, you know, we want to look at the big picture and think from the top down. We really need to be working from the bottom up. If we want to set the country back straight, if we want to fix Oregon, we need
Sean
to
Hannity
change our
on 104.3 FM, KSLM, reliable news talk.
If we can fix our own house, what's affecting us locally, it will trickle up. Then you'll start getting the bigger state seats. Then you'll start getting the national elections.
You got to develop a farm team.
Absolutely. You got to develop a farm team.
And you develop those skills at the local level.
You do.
That's where you
You know what? I did city council.
Right.
You got a lot of time in government.
Commission and,
I would not be qualified to jump into a national election. You got to start somewhere and learn government. You got to learn how it works and work your way up. And that's how you become an effective legislator.
Folks, I'm going to put a friend of mine on the air here. He doesn't know this because he just walked up here, but I want to introduce you to a guy who's responsible for these signs you're seeing around the state. We're going to put him on the air and talk about what he's doing in a moment. In fact, we're going to get him mic'd up here. I'm going to have him put a headset on. And why don't you walk around here, friend, and we'll get you introduced. He's not running for anything. He's a guy who feels passionately about what he believes in, and he's got signs, and he helps us. I want to remind you, this is the Timber Unity Rally broadcast. It's live from the steps of the Capitol building. We're going to be here for a couple of hours. We got lots of people here. We still have people that are on their way in here.
It's still gridlocked in
it's
places.
It's out on the freeway.
Yep.
It's
crazy the amount of traffic that's coming in. The horns haven't stopped. The energy definitely has not gone away.
Not at all. Not at all. And, you know, the important part about coming down here is you're not only part of this event, but you have an opportunity to talk to legislators, to go talk to committee members, and make your voice heard about this particular issue and, frankly, other issues. And this is your opportunity to stand and defend
your liberty.
I'll
take it a step further. It's more than your opportunity. It's your duty.
It's
your responsibility.
It is your duty.
And
that's
we need to do it for the future generations, and we need to be able to do it while we can. And if we continue to have apathy, if we continue to keep our head in the sand and let them strip our liberties and think that they know better than we do, they're there because of us. It's we the people. They're there to serve us. We need to make sure that they always remember that.
And you do that by coming down here, friends, and being a part of this event today. We have four locations where you can hop on a shuttle bus and come on in here. You don't have to drive all the way into the madness around the Capitol because you're hearing the log trucks and the farmers, and we've got farm tractors driving around. They're blowing their horns because
school buses full of people are still coming from all these fairground locations,
literally
shuttling people in.
So we are shuttling every 30 minutes from four locations: the Polk County Fairgrounds, the State Fairgrounds, at the Rodeo Building, the Volcano Stadium out on I-5 at the Kaiser Station, and the Riverbend Rock Quarry. Every 30 minutes, we're bringing people in here. It is so important, friends, that you come down here and support this effort, but even more importantly, you stay active. It's not enough to just come and protest. You got to do something. Now, you know, what is that something?
Well, I would encourage them, take the time to write a letter, send an email,
yes,
or come down,
yes,
to their Republicans and tell them, I support you. I want you to do the walkout. The people are standing with you. It's so important that the Republicans hear that they have the support, and we are encouraging them to do whatever is necessary to make sure,
right,
that this cap and trade doesn't pass through.
And we are live on Facebook right now with my good friend Sandy Abercrombie.
Hi, Sandy.
Abercrombie, who's driven all the way up from Medford to be a part of this, and she's live on Facebook right now, and we're so fortunate.
I don't think there's a part of Oregon that doesn't have representation here today.
No, I know there's people here from Ontario. I know there's people here from Baker City, from LeGrand.
Tractors that have came that far.
I know. That's what's surprising.
I was talking to a farmer in Perrydale. 4 hours. The route they took, 4 hours from Perrydale,
wow,
to here.
That's incredible.
Incredible.
Joining me right now is my friend Mark Cosby, who is a guy that you don't know, except we know him. If you've been seeing these signs pop up around the state, signs like Timber Unity, signs like Oregon Pushback, and now Dear Oregon, there's one guy that's largely responsible for that. He has some help, but there's one guy that's been putting an incredible amount of miles on his pickup, and that's my friend Mark Cosby. Why are you doing this? Why are you putting up all these signs?
I care about my state and my country.
Well,
and
that's a good reason.
So
Mark's responsible for the majority of the Timber Unity signs,
absolutely,
you see across the state.
He's put most of them up.
When you drive, yeah, past the sign, good chance he did it himself.
That's right.
Well,
it is a good
there's
chance.
There's a few of them out there. I'm working hard at it. Today we have a bunch of yard signs, some 3x4 signs for Trump, for Timber Unity, for Ag Unity, for Dear Oregon, and for Oregon Pushback. And I'm just asking donations for them. And so if you drive by, when you come down past the front of the Capitol, you'll see the red Ford pickup with the Oregon Pushback sign on it. And if you pull right up on the left-hand side, there's boxes there. You can pick up your signs and scoot on down in the road, in the traffic again, and support the cause.
This is a big deal, friends, because what you don't know is that Mark doesn't get paid to do this. He drives all over the state putting up signs. He raises money. He gets donations from people like you. And we get these signs, and they're professionally done. We get them printed up for basically cost.
Yeah.
And if this cap and trade bill passes, he won't be able to afford the fuel to continue fighting these fights.
No,
will
right,
he, Mark?
No, he can't afford it. It's too expensive.
I can put yard signs in a Yugo.
He'll find a way to get them up.
Yeah.
So he's at the Capitol. He's got a red Ford pickup truck. It's got the big Oregon Pushback sign on it, right?
Yep.
Okay. You can't miss it if you drive by the Capitol. Help us, friends. This is so important. You know, getting these signs up is an awareness issue, isn't it?
It's all about awareness. It's all about putting pressure on our legislature to do the will of the public. The Dear Oregon, the purpose of DearOregon.com is to let the public know what this legislature is doing directly against the will of the public. And for example, they want your guns. It's pretty obvious they want your guns. They want that six-shot revolver you've had since the 1800s.
Because it's got too many bullets in it, doesn't it?
Too many bullets.
Yeah. Six bullets is too many.
Well,
and yet
they're dangerous, you know.
Yeah, they are,
know,
right.
So.
And yet in their wisdom, last year they passed SB 1008A, which will early release school shooters.
Oh, jeez.
Juvenile shooters.
Like
back
Kip Kinkle? It's called, we unjokingly call it the Kip Kinkle get out of jail bill.
Wow.
Because that's ultimately what it becomes. And it's crazy to have that kind of an attitude, but making people aware of it, that's what we're trying to do. So when you see these signs that say Dear Oregon, what that's all about is to get people. It doesn't say anything other than DearOregon.com, right?
Right.
But it says,
legislators want your guns, or it says
on the other
comply.
Side. Yeah. Wish you well. And it's about, hey, we may just leave this state. If you don't stop doing these crazy things, all kinds of crazy things, not just taxes, but this thing about school shooters getting out of jail early. It's insane. If you don't stop doing this, we're out of here. We're going somewhere else.
The question I continue to ask is, out of 246 years, what are they doing now that they feel scared that they better take our guns away? You know, what are they doing that they feel like they need to take our guns away?
So, I'd answer that, but I'm on a mic.
Because we haven't done anything wrong. You know, it's crazy.
In America, every day, a good guy with a gun stops a bad guy with a gun.
Absolutely.
You know, I carry legally a personal defense weapon to defend innocent life, yours and mine.
Absolutely.
That's what I tell people. The other thing I tell people is that all of us have a human right to defend ourselves.
Right.
Whichever means we choose.
Right.
Okay? In our Constitution, in both Oregon and the national U.S. Constitution, we're afforded that right, our human right, with a gun.
Well, what a lot of people don't know, the Oregon Constitution is actually stronger
is
on
stronger.
That than
yep.
the national Constitution.
You're right. You're
and
absolutely
and,
right.
So, and they're trying to strip that away, and they keep chipping away at our rights that by Constitution they don't legally, you know, they shouldn't be doing, but nobody's stopping them is the problem.
Well, I want you to know, friends, all of you, when you see these signs up, Oregon Pushback, Dear Oregon, Timber Unity, one guy is really responsible for putting all of those signs up. And Mark, we're deeply in your debt for doing
yes,
it.
Yes, Mark, thank you so much.
It's an important thing.
I'll take all the credit I can get.
You deserve it, friend. All right, Mark Cosby. He's got signs here, so come and join us while you're here, friends.
Well, what a great example of what a great...